Item on the agenda is item 10, public hearing. Regulation 4 VAC 2910 pertaining to horseshoe crab to reduce the 2010 commercial harvest quota, enhance quota management and harvest control measures.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I have a substantial interest in this fishery, and as such, I'm going to recuse myself from the commission's discussion and action on that.
So noted on the record. Thank you.
Rick, do you have a form you need to fill out on this one? Or not?
Yeah.
Got it? Thank you.
You did a few changes to the regulations. I have a new one for you.
Thank you.
This is a public hearing on horseshoe crabs. We introduced it last month. A little bit of background on horseshoe crab licenses. There are three tiers of harvest in Virginia. The first is the horseshoe crab endorsement license, which allows a harvester to land up to 5,000 crabs per day. There's also a restricted horseshoe crab endorsement license, which allows harvesters to land up to 2,000 crabs per day, but it's restricted to harvest by crab dredge gear only. Both of these licenses are required to call in their harvest daily to our call-in system, and they also, the landing limits are reduced once 85% of the yearly quota has been taken. The third level is that any commercial fisherman can land up to 500 crabs per day without any sort of additional permits or tracking. For our regulation history, probably one of the biggest changes came in 2006 when the commission adopted measures from Addendum 4 to the Horseshoe Crab Management Plan. That included prohibiting the landing of horseshoe crabs from federal waters from January 1st to June 7th. Especially important, no more than 40% of Virginia's annual quota could be harvested from waters east of the Colreg line. And landings from that area east of the Colreg line must be comprised of a minimum ratio of 2 males to 1 female. Also, in the 2007 season, the commission added a horseshoe crab buyer's permit system. In 2009, the fishery was closed on August 17th. This is only the second time we've reached the quota since it was established. It was exceeded by about 10%, or just over 15,000 crabs. That overage will have to be paid back in 2010. We have stopgaps currently in the regulation that were built to keep us from overages. However, we found that those were ineffective, mostly due to lack of reporting from harvesters from those requirements of their permits. So basically, by the time that we had available data showing that we had reached the 85% stopgap, we had already reached and exceeded the quota.
I have a question. We exceeded it by 10%. And then you go down below that the stop gaps were affected due to the lack of reporting from harvesters. That lack of reporting from harvesters, was that widespread, or was it isolated to a limited group of harvesters that may have been responsible for a significant overage?
It was widespread. I mean, there were some that were definitely worse than others as far as if they had the permit and were supposed to call in but didn't. But out of 25 harvesters that we have record of harvesting, 17 had some sort of reporting problem.
Thank you.
Okay, so on that same note, very few of those endorsement license holders complied with that call-in requirement. And the call-in requirement is very important because that's what really allows us to track that day-to-day harvest and really keep track of how quickly it comes in. Because with 150,000 crab harvest, people potentially landing 5,000 crabs per day, it can be harvested very quickly. We had to rely on monthly buyer's reports or monthly mandatory reporting forms, and those just didn't come in quickly enough to capture that harvest in the middle of the month. And like I said earlier, out of 25 total harvesters, 17 had compliance violations of some sort, and cases on that will be heard at the next commission meeting.
Thank you.
Question?
Mr. Fox,
of the buyer's reports, were the buyers prompt in reporting? Did they report promptly?
Yes. For the most part, there was only one that I had to call, and when I did, they responded within, I think, about a week. So.
Okay.
All right. So the other problem is that over 63% of the 2009 harvest came from holders who didn't call or were bycatch harvesters. So we had a large clump that had these endorsement licenses instances that should have been calling daily, but we also had over 46,000 crabs come in from individuals who have no requirement like that. And since every commercial harvester has the potential, if allowed, to land 500 per day, that's also really difficult to track. Also, we had an overage as far as the amount allotted east of the coal rigs line. We had 69% of our harvest this year come from that area. We're only supposed to have 40% of the statewide quota come from that area specifically. So staff has come up with a few ideas on how, a few proposals on how to limit this future, this overage from happening in the future. The first is to reduce those landing limit triggers from 85% to 50%. I feel like that's a, that would capture the harvest a little better. Also is establishment of a bycatch permit. This would be free. It's not limited in any way. It's the same allotment given before, but it gives us identification and a contact list of fishery members, which that was a big problem this year, was contacting everybody when we did find out we had to close, was trying to make sure that we captured everybody that was fishing. Also, to avoid future overages, we suggest changing the buyer's report from a monthly written report to a weekly written report. For this year, the buyer's reports were by far the most reliable data source, and it would be much more helpful to have that more frequently. Originally, in your eval in the first draft regulation, staff had proposed daily call-ins for buyers as well, and that would be all season long. However, after calls from industry, we've amended that to require that daily call-in for buyers after 85% of the quota has been taken, which that's what the regulation has currently, and also after 85% of that allotment east of the coal rigs line has been taken. So that's really where the change is.
Question, Mr. Fox.
So the buyers will have to report in a written report weekly.
Yes.
But once we get to the 85% limit, then they have to call in daily.
Yes.
Okay.
In addition to that, we wanted to set specific landing limit triggers specific to that area east of the coal rigs line so that we can watch that more carefully. So when 20% of the commercial quota has been taken from waters east of the coal rigs line, those landing limits would be reduced to half. So basically what that means is we're allowed 40% in that area, so when 20% or half of that has been taken, those landing limits would be reduced. And what that means for that area east of the coal rigs line is that the landing limits can be reduced in two ways. First is when 20% of the total quota for the state has been taken from that area, or when 50% of the quota for the entire state has been taken anywhere. Those are the two ways that can be reduced. We haven't received any written public comment at this time, and staff's recommendations are to pay back the 2009 overage, to reduce the landing limits from 85% to 50%, adding that bycatch permit, having a modified call-in system and weekly buyer's report, and to reduce those landing limit triggers specifically in the water east of the coal rigs line.
Questions of the commission? Mr. Tankard?
I've got two questions. One, it must be in the literature here. Where is this line? The east versus
right. It runs from lighthouse to lighthouse across the Chesapeake Bay, and there's also several that run across most of the bays and inlets as you go up the eastern shore.
Okay. All right. So then let me ask you this: the folks who had the overages, were they fishermen in the west or the east, or was it both?
East.
They were that had specific overages.
Yes. Who didn't report.
Who didn't report. The ones who, there were definitely a lot that did come from east of the coal rigs line, but there were some who had reporting problems all over.
Mr. Fox.
Yeah, I'm quite concerned about these people that don't report problems.
We are too.
Is there some penalty we can impose on them?
Well, next month, we are planning on bringing them before the commission for compliance hearing.
You can impose a penalty up to not letting them fish next year, quite honestly.
What do you mean?
Never mind, I'll stop right there. Question, Mr. Bowden?
Yeah. No, I'll have
a comment later on.
I'll explain something to you all later on.
One more question.
Mr. Tankard?
I guess Mr. Fox's comments, it seems to me that we've got this non-reporting issue. Is this something that has always been with the industry? Is this a one-time thing? And then the second part of my question is, if it is a one-time thing, are we taking on recommendations that wouldn't be needed if we enforced the current laws that we have?
As far as have they been reporting, a lot of the endorsement license holders, which were a lot of the problem this year, weren't active in previous years. I don't have their exact reporting numbers to give you any percentages, but I know that a lot of them, you know, just used it this year and have not used it in the past few years.
It's been a little late. That's an issue that we dealt with on another species.
As far as your question, as far as are we kind of hurting them in response to this year, last year, for instance, we didn't harvest 50%, but around 50% of the quota all year long. So in previous years, we've had really low harvest. So a lot of our triggers here wouldn't even come into play in previous years. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. I just wonder if we are knee-jerking into some type of regulations that it sounds like historically haven't been needed, and with latent effort that you describe here, if we can control that, maybe we really should be going after, as opposed to penalizing an industry that seems to have gotten along fairly well in history.
I think what happens sometimes, it's been my experience, is that one of the worst, it's like the worst thing that can happen from a fishery management perspective, as far as believing that you're doing your job, is to go over quota. Really take it seriously and personally, both from a management perspective here and from a technical perspective, and as far as the job that these wonderful people do. I think what happens is we then start to, not knee-jerk, but maybe massage or adjust things to make sure that we don't do it again. You know, I think those that exercise oversight above and beyond us are looking to the fact with an eye of understanding that, okay, once is okay, you've been kind of lulled into a sense of false security due to the fact that we haven't had the harvest done the way that's done, but now you have seen what can happen, and we want to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I think that's the suite that you have before you, although it's room for adjustment, which we will discuss in a little while, I think is an attempt by the staff to manage the fishery as responsibly and as close to maximum yield without going over as possible. So that's just my take on it after what it's worth. Further comments or questions, members of the commission? Mr. Schick?
It just seems like the 50% is a good figure because historically we really haven't been doing that. But then all of a sudden, you know, you get this jolt. You know, you need the stopgap method. So I think that does make some sense there as far as, you know, if it goes back to historical harvests, it's not going to affect anything. But we have to be prepared for those spikes like we had last year. That makes a lot of sense.
Further comments? Okay, thank you. This is a public hearing. Is anyone in the public wish to be heard on the matter? There being none, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion. Mr. Bowden.
One of the few people, if not the only one in the room, probably knows what called REGS. On the Eastern Shore.
Collision regulations.
Yeah, but on the where they actually lie. On the Eastern Shore, you generally go from, for example, Chincoteague goes from the point where the old Coast Guard station was on that, but then to the sea buoy, back into where the old Coast Guard station was on Wallops. When you get down your way, Colbrake is actually a good ways offshore because they straighten the line out when you leave in Cobbs and Hog Island, which sit in a long way, so actually you get Gulf Walk. A lot of the horseshoe crabs that was harvested, the Chincoteague, that are reported east of the call range were actually west of the call range because they were caught in the bite area, which would put them inside of that line. But with nobody being familiar with the lines, you know, they just reported that they caught them in the ocean, the Chincoteague, for example. In actuality, they were in trouble. I think that's one thing we need to make clear, exactly where the lines are, because I don't think anybody really knows.
If we can issue map, I mean, how many harvests have you got now? 25. We'll issue a map with the line on it next time it goes out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a good idea because, like I said, a lot of these crabs that were 340 east are actually west of the culvert because they weren't in shifted in that area. But as far as the rest of it, I have no real problems with it. You know, we're going to deal with people being over next month. And I always think education is the best way to go. And if that doesn't work, then you go for punishment. So I think, you know, we need to educate people exactly what was going on. And some of them were aware. And I think one reason you had a big influx last year was lack of croakers. That time of year is usually a big time in the bay for croakers, and it wasn't. We had people that had permits that ordinarily don't go, went, so they'd have a job. Like, that's how I feel, and I have no problem passing this stuff, and we need to educate the public what went wrong. And this is a good way to move forward, so we'll know what's going on.
Just one follow-up question, if I may. What is, if there is, how long does it normally take to go from 85% as far as the buyer's concerned? I'm a little worried about the buyer's mandate to basically do what the harvesters are supposed to do. And I know it's a correlation to get the two best numbers. But how long does it normally take to go from 85% to 100% once it's, is there any, do we have any historical?
I don't really have any historical information, but for this year it took a
week. Happened one time, the first time, so we all.
2006 was the only time other than this year since the quota has been established that we had that happen at all, and it was a similar situation.
Okay, so just to make sure we're clear, the buyer doesn't have to start ringing every day until it's 85%.
Correct.
Okay. Matters before the commission for action.
Move to approve staff recommendation.
Motion made by Mr. Bowden, seconded by Dr. McConaughey. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Very good job, Scott. Thank you very much.